Help us, Almighty God, that our joyful celebration of the resurrection feast may be reflected in our daily work and conversation. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Another Easter song, Christ is risen, alleluia.
Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 42. Peter and the apostles answered the high priest and the council, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so it is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor of all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we'll read Psalm 148 responsively. Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all you angels of his.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, heaven of heavens.
And you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded, and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever.
He gave them a law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth.
You see monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and fog.
Tempestuous wind doing his will.
Mountains and all hills.
Fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beast and all cattle.
Creeping things and winged birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples.
Princes and all rulers of the world.
Young men and maidens.
Old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For his name only is exalted. His splendor is over the earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people and praise for all his beloved servants.
The children of Israel, a people who are near him. Hallelujah.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a loving hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen.
Now, we can say that at any any time, even if it's the Sunday after the big event. As we were talking earlier, what a great event last Easter was. And it was packed, and we saw old friends and new. We saw family, people that we haven't seen for a while. God is good, and it was a tremendous event, and we gave glory to God because he is risen. He broke the bonds of sin and death and the power of the devil, and because of that, we live because he lives too. And I want to personally thank God for that wonderful Lenten series that we had on the return of the prodigal son, using Henry Nouwen's series, and that we could see ourselves in that beautiful parable of the prodigal son. But Easter was a tremendous way to have a kickoff for the rest of our church year. The gospel lesson for today is right on the heels of what we heard last Sunday. The stone was rolled away, the tomb is empty, the two Marys were greeted by Jesus. They told the disciples that he is risen, even though they were kind of doubting, but the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life is the greatest gift we could ever have, truly the greatest gift. And we heard about that last Sunday, and you're going to hear about it every Sunday that we worship and gather as an Easter people. Today's text has the disciples behind locked doors. Now, we personally know what it's like to encounter a locked door. As we were getting our house ready for sale and to move out in California, we were ready and excited to come to Rochester, but we decided to use U-Pods instead of the movers to save money, of course. And when we talked to U-Haul, they said, you'll need three or four pods at the most because of the square footage of your home. It wasn't even close. Have you heard of nine pods instead? And so we're off to a wonderful beginning, and we thought we'll get one more visit into the Bay Area to see our daughter and family, and then we'll anticipate that ninth U-pod when we got back to Kingsburg. And so we came back, and there was the ninth pod, and we went up to the door, and it was bolted shut with a padlock. A padlock. Now, the others were open. Why a padlock? And so hurriedly, I called a friend of mine with a bolt cutter, and he opened it up, and you guessed it. We opened the door, and it was chock full of someone else's stuff. What? So we called U-Haul, and this was over the 4th of July weekend, not a whole lot going on, and wondering if we can even get a hold of them. And they finally came, and the driver was upset at us. Why did you break open that bolt? I said, well, I thought it was our pod. I mean, that maybe there was a mistake. But that was our beginning, and we were anticipating hitting the road a lot earlier. And, of course, Spence and Arnie saw the other side, the Rochester side, and that wasn't easy as well. It was a test of our patience and our character for sure, a locked door. What doors are locked in your life? The disciples certainly knew all about locked doors. They huddled behind shuttered windows and barred doors, wondering what will happen to them next. It was all too fresh in their mind, the worst form of execution known to humankind, death by crucifixion. Their world had come to an end. All their expectations and the consolation of Israel, the messianic age, what would be a powerful return of Israel and former glory was now dashed. James and John even discussed who was going to become greatest on the left and on the right of Jesus in glory. How about riding on the coattails of Jesus? Looked pretty good for a while. They had all these expectations and they were dashed. Even though the two Marys had met the risen Lord that earlier that day, these disciples still doubted and lived in fear of their lives. Jesus was crucified, and they might be next. They were in a fog. It was a blur. It was still all a mystery, what's real and what's not real. But Jesus loved his disciples too much to leave them in their despair and the defeated state. Locked doors couldn't keep him out. I mean, if he could go through the the stone, the tomb, that hardened tomb, couldn't he go through mahogany as well? And if he can come through solid barriers, he can certainly come through human barriers to lift us out of our fear and sadness and create new life and new hope. Good thing he didn't knock on the door, because I think the disciples would have been flat on their faces in fear. They just weren't going to open it up for anybody. But Jesus doesn't like doors, and he'll go through the wall to change us and to encourage us. And still, this out-of-the-ordinary experience terrified them. Sometimes I wonder if they were terrified for what Jesus might say and do to them, because after all, they ran like cowards when he needed them the most. He might retaliate. Thanks a lot, guys. Just when I needed you the most. What happened? What happened to you? But instead of retaliation, he gave them the absolution, forgiveness. The first words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." The Eastern greeting, shalom, which means may it go well with you. I wish you wholeness and well-being. And then he showed them his hands and his side. It was him. He did conquer death. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And he says a second time to convince them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." So this is more than just a feel-good meeting. It's a commissioning. There's a purpose in Christ's victory, the salvation of humankind, to let people know the gospel meets us where we're at, even in our fears, by bringing us to faith and hope and love and joy. So I ask a question for all of you today. Do you have any doors that are locked in your life? What keeps you from living the full, abundant life, the one that Jesus promised? He said, "I come to bring you life and to give it abundantly." Is there a locked door in your life? I was grateful to be a chaplain at the VA hospital in Fresno, ministering to our veterans. And there are many who are dealing with locked doors and need the hope of the risen Lord in that place. One of the most difficult visits that I have is to visit an ALS patient, and I had that on a few occasions. I consider that the most difficult visit that I could possibly make, somebody with ALS, known as the Lou Gehrig's disease, because they can't really respond other than maybe blinking their eyes. Their body has deteriorated to such a point where visiting is virtually impossible, at least from a two-way street. It's a cruel and terminal disease. ALS attacks the nerve cells called motor neurons that controls voluntary muscles, the muscles that we're able to control. This leads to progressive weakness and disability. And when these cells die, voluntary muscle control and movement are lost. People with ALS eventually lose their strength, ability to move their arms, their legs and body, and the ability to breathe on their own. And in most cases, their minds remain sharp and alert, and that's the cruel part, fully aware of their debilitating condition. So this particular patient that I went in to visit has a spiritual foundation in the Lord, I found that out, and could move his eyes and mouth, but could not speak because he had a trach in his throat. And I spoke of a day when there'll be no more tears or suffering or pain, that is our hope in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a machine. It's a wonderful modern invention called a Tobii. It's talking Tobii. It allows the ALS patient, with their eyes, eye movement, to type out words. And then there's a verbal response that comes forth. So as I was visiting, I didn't realize there was anything really going on. Hopefully, he could hear what I was saying and praying. And I knew the patient was Catholic, so I prayed the Our Father and finished my visit. And as I was walking out the door, I heard, "Amen." That blew me away. Wow, that God's word did go forth in those locked doors of that debilitated ALS patient, even though that door of declining and debilitating health expressed hope and love in the Lord. He can go through any locked doors in our lives. On the sixth floor of this hospital was the mental health ward. And I met a young man who was a heroin addict. His whole life was behind locked doors. He was a combat veteran who served in the Army in Afghanistan. He lost a couple of good friends in a helicopter crash where 36 soldiers died trying to save some stranded soldiers on a mountaintop. You may have heard of that situation. He was told later by his wife that there would be paperwork on the table when he gets home, if he could sign them. He came back to divorce papers. He lost his car in the process and couldn't get to work. So he lost his job and became homeless. He misses the camaraderie of the military and the pride of serving our country, but he was dealing with PTSD and has no purpose in life or meaning in the civilian life. We prayed that God would reconstruct his life from the bottom up, and we prayed that God's resurrection power would open a new life for him. He took it all in, shook my hand, and we gave each other a hug. Obviously, his road back to having purpose in life is a long, tough road, but with God's help and the support of professionals who understand, he has a chance, because the Lord Jesus can break the chains of addiction and hopelessness. He can enter into a person's life through the Holy Spirit to direct and make sense of a life that's in a mess. Know anybody like that? French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre wrote a book, No Access, implying that there's no way out of this life, that there's no door to eternal life, that this is all there is. You'd better get used to it. And I say, have you heard about Easter? Have you heard about Easter? Why is the door locked for so many people? There are so many who live hopeless lives with no way out of their predicament. Fear is a huge driving force in so many lives today. We live in fear of our safety. We live in gated communities for fear that someone may break into our homes. We have security cameras everywhere. We live in fear of one another. Many young people especially live in the fear of failure, that if they don't measure up with being good-looking or intelligent, they're not going to make it in life. They sit behind locked doors because they're afraid to face their fears. We know that during COVID, schools were locked down and many students were left to fend for themselves at home. What was going on behind locked doors or closed doors? Social media did and still does much harm to the minds of impressionable young people. Some of you were at that first CARE banquet last fall, and we heard about how teens are taking the morning after pill in their own bedrooms with devastating results. Jesus, we need you to enter closed doors to breathe new life into our young people and protect them from the enemy. The Gospel of John says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. This is what Jesus said to those first disciples behind locked doors. Receive the Holy Spirit. And we do that as we surrender our pride and faith to the one who is victorious over our fears. Come now, Lord Jesus, breathe on us today. Breathe us the Holy Spirit. Some theologians would say for those disciples that this was a mini Pentecost when he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. We know God is love, and this is the beginning of overcoming our fears. It's a powerful story about a small village in Poland the day the Nazis came to town. It was a Sunday, and the people were in church worshiping with troops, and the troops of the Third Reich came into the village and swarmed into the village. The soldiers entered the church and ordered everyone outside. Then the troops set fire to the structure. Then the soldiers pointed their weapons at the congregation. But instead of shrinking in fear, these people began to sing, "A mighty fortress is our God." Martin Luther, as you know, a German, wrote this hymn. The people of the congregation, as well as the German soldiers, grew up singing this hymn. The people sang a verse and then went on to the next verse, waiting for the bullets. They truly expected that rifle fire would stop their singing, but the bullets didn't come. And finally, looking around at the German soldiers surrounding them, they were astonished to see guns lowered and every hardened Nazi face
streaming with tears. The soldiers, one by one, two by two, slowly turned and climbed back into their trucks and jeeps. They pulled away from the little town. The soldiers left behind a congregation of the faithful standing outside their burning church, singing. You see, Jesus alone, the risen Christ, the victor over death, can walk right through those barriers that we face, we place on ourselves, or what others place on us. He can walk right through the walls of our health issues and fears of death and dying alone. When Jesus came before the disciples at first Easter, the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." He didn't come in and accuse them like, "A lot of help you guys are." No, he came in peace and forgiveness. Perhaps this is why Jesus, who tried many ways during his earthly ministry to explain who he was, called himself the door. Have you heard him describing himself as the door? In John chapter 10. In the Middle Ages, the Carpenters Guild chose as its motto, "I am the door." They then turned a construction necessity into a religious virtue. They fashioned doors whose upper and lower panels created crosses on the doors that they built. So look at your home. Maybe you may still have that pattern. You can think of Jesus' cross every time you open a door. No matter your difficult circumstances, remember, Jesus even arrives through closed doors. Even deals with our doubts, as is evident in this beautiful Easter passage. You know, this is often called the Doubting Thomas passage. And true, he did doubt, and he was a pessimist, but he had courage, the courage of conviction, that he wasn't going to say that he believed when he didn't. He had integrity that way. "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nail, put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." The door to his heart was closed because he needed physical proof that it was truly Jesus. So here we go again, and you and I can relate to this. We're from Missouri, show me. We are tough on Thomas for his doubting, but we're no different. Plus, the other disciples got to see Jesus, and that's why they believed. The good news is that doubting is not a sin. Honest struggle in the faith often leads to deeper conviction that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We all doubt. As Lutherans, we understand that we are at one and the same time both saints and sinners. We've got both things going on in our lives. Faith and unbelief cohabit. This is a war of the soul. The media was so excited when they discovered that Mother Teresa doubted her faith. But look at the fruits of her ministry. Martin Luther often prayed, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Theologian Paul Tillich states that doubt is not the opposite of faith, but an integral part of faith. Haven't you questioned the existence of God when you have unanswered prayer? Or that he cares for you when you're suffering? Or witness the injustice in the world. Jesus meets us where we're at, and that's the good news. In the midst of our fears and our doubts, as he did with Thomas. And you can imagine what's going on through Thomas's mind as Jesus appears, and he's a bit nervous, and he's sweating and pulling on his collar. I'm, "Oh boy, here we go." But Jesus took him where he was at and gently answered his question. "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." He didn't condemn Thomas, but loved him, winning him to faith. Thomas declared the first and greatest confession of all of Scripture, "My Lord and my God." We've all had our struggles with doubt in our Christian lives. You've had them. I've had them. You may even have them right now. While there is much we cannot know, may never know, can't we be sure of this? Doubts can't separate doubters from God's love. Doubts can't separate doubters from God's love. 40 days after Easter, you know what happens there? The ascension of our Lord into heaven. 40 days after Easter, Jesus took his disciples up a mountain before his ascension. In Matthew 28, it says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful." How did Jesus respond when some worshiped and some doubted? He told them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Jesus met his followers where they were, some worshiping and others doubting, and put them on a mission. He wasn't going to wait. And you see, God can use you whether you are strong in the faith or still doubting. Doubts don't sideline you. You need to know that you of all people, Jesus calls blessed. For you believe without the evidence, all the evidence of Christ's presence. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You are a blessed people. The challenge for you and me this Easter is to take a leap of faith, even when the evidence is not all there. The risen Christ will supply what you need, just as he did those early disciples, as he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, and they were transformed. He didn't transform them to sit on the laurels, but he sent them out into the very streets that caused fear into their hearts. That's the power of the resurrection, transforming them from whiners to winners. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives and mine this Easter season. So receive this Christ who comes into our room today. He is here today into your lives, behind some of us, behind locked doors. He comes to empower us for living in a skeptical, doubtful world. He comes to unlock a whole new world for us. He brings us his peace, a peace that is not of this world. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding as he breathes on us his Spirit. May our one and only response be one great confession, like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Amen. Now may the peace of God and the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Following the sermon, we have the strife is over and the battle is done. Sing hallelujah, we should stand. We should stand when we sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The strife is over and done. Now the victor strives won. Now be a song of praise.
Of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated as we hear the prayers of the church.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through your Spirit, guide all the baptized that they may daily discover Christ walking before, beside, and behind them, wherever their paths may lead. We pray for those preparing for baptism and those who have yet to learn of your abundant grace and peace won through the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all creation, in many parts of your world, the creation has begun its annual process of rebirth. As shoots sprout forth from the earth and trees put forth their buds, help us to see in these everyday miracles a hint of the promised glory of our own resurrection through your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of mercy, teach us to recognize the priceless treasures of grace and reconciliation you have given us in your Son, Jesus, and then to be bold and generous in offerings that same grace to those who may have hurt us. In a world divided on many fronts, may your Spirit lead us to the agents of reconciliation and peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healer of our every ill, in every corner of the world, your children suffer in mind, body, and spirit. Many lack the basic necessities for life, clean water, nutritious food, and adequate shelter. Others find themselves overcome with grief and despair, while still others face the challenges of medical concerns. Empower your church to be sources of healing and wholeness and voices of hope. We pray especially for those we name before you, either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to stand as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.